requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Let's get after it again this week for the kingdom of God. I pray that October is going well for you. We're almost to the point where it's just November and December left. And boy, those are some busy times. And so I hope that you are planning well and that you are scheduling yourself well, and that you're making plans to finish this year strong for the glory of God. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and we are privileged to spend the next 30 minutes with you here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. About twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall, WMIE has a fundraiser, and it is an offering. You don't hear a lot of commercials. It's a listener supported radio station, and so it's a faith ministry. So it requires faith. So when I became a pastor, no one ever told me how you made a budget when you were doing a faith ministry. If you're in business, there are certain things that you can do, products that you can provide, advertising that you can do, and you know there's general ways that you can make your business happen. And I said, how do you budget for faith? And so one of the things that we do with our budgeting is, you know, we budget in missions. So, you know, at the very least, and we have given well above and beyond this percentage for decades and decades, we give 10% of the church's annual income. At least 10% goes, a lot of times that's between 20% and 30%, and this year it might even be more, I'm not sure. But WMIE is here, and they're asking for you to partner with them. And you know, they have all of the equipment, but that has to be maintained. There's a building. It's got to be maintained. There's, you've got to make sure that your roof is good so that your equipment doesn't get rained on, and all of that. Water and electronics do not go well together. And so if the radio programs you listen to are of benefit to you, I'd like to ask you to consider partnering with WMIE for 6 months. 6 months is not that long. And if you are able to do so, that would be greatly appreciated. 321-632-1000. And we would be greatly appreciative of you standing with us to proclaim the gospel throughout Brevard County. Another group of people who stand with us here at the Refresh Radio program is Treasure Your Landscape and Space Coast Nursery. They have the landscape business. They also have the nursery where it has the plants and all of that. You can go and the address there at the nursery, Space Coast Nursery, is 3880 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. And Treasure is up there. She runs that, and you know, they provide a lot of variety in plants that can make your yard look exactly the way that you want it to. Treasure Your Landscape is the landscaping business. It's licensed and insured. It's a family business. They've got over two decades worth of experience in the landscaping business. They have a full array of products. They have water features, landscape lighting, artificial turf, putting greens. They work on landscaping, paver installation, drains and downspouts. They've worked on irrigation pumps and sprinkler systems. They redid the sodding at my house. They have redone the landscaping. at the front of the church. In fact, if you want to see their handiwork, you can either go onto their Facebook page or their website and look. But if you want to see it up close and personal, you could come to Merit Assembly of God. And all of that landscaping you see on the front of our church there on Grove Street, all of that was designed, planted, and cared for by them. They want to transform your outdoor area into space your family will treasure. They love Jesus, and they're dear friends of the Refresh Radio program, and we thank them for helping us to bring the Refresh Radio program to you for just almost finishing up our 12th year now. Next week, we'll begin our 13th year of broadcasting. We started in 2013 with a surprise phone call from the radio station, and we've been doing pretty much standalone programs every day since. And there's a couple of times of the year where we do rebroadcast, but almost every program is a program of itself. And so thank you to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape and WMIE. Let's go to Psalm 106 today. I'm going to read, I guess I'll read just a couple of verses to start with. Verses 6 and 7, it says, "We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers did not understand your wonders, they did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the Red Sea." I think I'll go ahead and read one more. "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power shown." So, as we're looking at things to praise God for, it's important that we remember we're the sinners in this equation. A lot of times people filter their memories and their experiences in such a way that it makes them look good, and it makes anybody who they've interacted with, makes them out to be the bad person. In our relationship with God, it's important to remember that God is holy, just, righteous, and true, and he always has been. He is holiness personified. He is perfection personified. He is without flaw. And against this holy God, we stand in contrast. And there's three words that are mentioned here in verse number 6 that describe our offense against the holy God. The first one is that we have sinned. We've missed the mark. We went the wrong direction. We have sinned. We've made mistakes. And we have made errors. Now, all of us miss the mark. If you don't believe that that is the case, I want to take you out to the golf course. And it will not take long. There was one story I heard of a person who went to a golf course, and he was drug out there by his buddies, and he said, it just looks too easy. And they finally said, we're going to prove to you that it's not, and get you up there. And he got up there and unbelievably he hit a hole in one. And he said, "I told you it was too easy." And he walked off, and he didn't stick around to see if he could back that up. When I was growing up and we were playing a horse, I believe it was, if you got to the point where you were about to eliminate your opponent, you had to back that up. It wasn't you just had to do it once, you had to do it a second time. And I will tell you that even if you do hit the mark on occasion, you're not going to be able to do it all of the time. And I'm not talking about golf course here. I'm not talking about bowling or archery or anything like that. I'm talking about life. I heard a person say that when he was describing that, you know, and he's older than I am, he was describing that he has virtually never gone a day without sinning, and he's a person very intent on living a sinless life. He said, I did have a stretch where I went 8 hours without sinning, but that was while I was asleep. And so it's important for us to realize God doesn't miss the mark. We miss the mark. And it's not something that we should think trivial. It should be something that we say, hey, how can I avoid this in the future? And I will tell you, because of the new covenant that is available through the blood of Jesus Christ, he can empower us to live the way that God always wanted us to live. So when this word is used about making an error, you know, I've told you the story here before about being in trigonometry and analytics, that I'd worked out the formula correctly. I just made a mistake and had 9 times 7 being 56 when it's actually 63. And so if you ever make one of those mathematical errors, you want to say, okay, what can I do? How can I change the system? How can I change my process so that I don't make that same mistake again? Did you know that most people have mistakes that they repeat over and over and over and over again? And for some, they just come to accept the mistake rather than trying to correct the mistake. So we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. Iniquity is wickedness, or it's a gross injustice. It is rebellion, and it is living in a way that does not treat everyone the same way. So most people that I know demand a lot of mercy for themselves and show very little mercy for those around them. We expect people to be very understanding with us while showing very little understanding with those that are creating inconveniences for us. So here a few weeks ago, we were at a ladies' conference. I was the chauffeur part of the time, there was another person that was responsible for the driving for the first half of the event. I was the driver for the second half of the event because of a scheduling conflict. And the hotel had quite a few issues. They had some elevators that weren't working, and that created some inconvenience for me. And when it came time to check out, the lady's name who was processing our, you know, final bill, I looked at her name badge and her name was Mercy, and I said, boy, I really need a lot of mercy today because there were a lot of flights of stairs. I can do quite a few stairs in a day. I don't do them in the chunks that I did during that experience. I don't carry the luggage that I was carrying. It was a physically demanding situation. You know what? It wasn't Mercy's fault. So there was no sense in, you know, being, you know, unpleasant or complaining a lot to Mercy. She was already aware that the elevators weren't working. She had probably already experienced a lot of people telling them how unhappy they were. It wasn't Mercy's fault. And so I say to you that if you're going to ask for mercy for yourself, you need to be a distributor of mercy for those around you. You have to be willing to treat everyone according to the same standard. When there is an unjust standard, you are talking about iniquity. You are talking about rebellion against God, because God expects that there is going to be a just standard, that you're going to use the same weights and measures with everyone else. That's why there is a statement that says the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Everyone has the same issue. We are all sinners. We all needed a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, and only He lived a sinless life, and by the shedding of His blood made the forgiveness of our sins possible. So there's missing the mark. Then there is intentional injustice or iniquity that is out there, and that's different. That's intentional. And then it says this: we have done wickedly. Wickedly means we have acted in a manner that has departed from the standard that God has for us. We see an abdication in our modern society of biblical standards, of biblical understanding. We pray that the societal pendulum swings back towards godliness, because godliness causes a nation to be exalted. Wickedness causes it to be humbled, and that it is not going to be able to sustain itself. We need God. God is the one who holds things together, and He holds them together for His good pleasure. And so we need to make sure that we are not behaving in a wicked manner, and God is the one who defines the term wicked, not us. So you see many people in modern times that if you act in a manner that is different from their behavior, then you're the wicked one, you're the hateful one, you are the sinner, and they will lash out at you. And so it's important for us to know that wickedness is not based upon my feelings. Wickedness is measured by the metric of God's word. Okay? It's really quite simple. The word of God tells us if we've missed the mark. The word of God tells us that God is no respecter of persons. The word of God describes that there is good and there is evil, there is wickedness, and there is holiness. We need to make sure that we are living in a holy lifestyle. So in verse number 6, the psalmist says, we've sinned, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly. Verse number 7 is a verse I've got highlighted, because it says this: our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. I was having a conversation with someone recently, and it reminded me of that principle of in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah hears God saying, whom shall we send and who will go for us? And let me just turn over there just a moment. And in verse number 9, it says, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. And as we were having this conversation, I said, there's a lot of people who see, but they do not observe. There are a lot of people who hear, but they don't listen. There's a difference between the two. You can hear a sound, but you have to listen to pay attention. There's a commercial on television. I couldn't tell you who the product is for, but there's this person who, there's a young lady who's talking to another young lady, and the young lady who is supposed to be listening is not paying attention. And so they bring in a backup quarterback in the NFL, and he comes and he's focused, he's listening, and he's commenting, and he's making sure that he understands. And like I say, I don't have any idea what the product is. I just understand, you know, that there is a way that people listen, that they're not paying attention. And then there's a way that you can listen where you really hear what the person is trying to say. And I said, we not only need to see, but we need to observe. We need to understand. Well, what the psalmist says here in Psalm 106 is that our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. God was doing miraculous things. He was defeating the greatest army on the planet at that time. There were plagues and miracles and extraordinary events that was bringing the Egyptian economy to a halt. It was really undermining all of the things that they boasted out. All of their idols were under attack. And not only was Pharaoh's heart hardened that he did not want to let the people go, but the children of Israel were seeing all of these things, but they didn't give any consideration to it. They didn't ponder it. They didn't think about it and say, what is God doing here in this situation? What does this mean for future life with him? And I want to ask you, have you ever stopped to say, God, would you help me to understand what you are doing in this situation? I think of the servant that stood with Elisha, and Elisha had been giving military insight and advice to places that he was going to be attacked by the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria was quite upset about it. And so he sent the army to surround the city that Elisha was in. And his servant gets up and says, oh no, this is bad. We are surrounded. And Elisha said, God, would you open his eyes so that he can see that those that are for us are more than those that are against us? And all of a sudden, the servant's eyes were opened to realize that there was an angelic army that was surrounding the military army that was surrounding the city. And that army removed the visual capabilities of the invading army, and Elisha said, yeah, this isn't the town you're looking for, and he takes them to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel says, can I kill him? He says, no, you wouldn't kill prisoners of war like that. We do not treat people according to the world standards. We're here to treat people according to the Word of God standards. And so they released those people and let them go. And what happened was, you know, that army took that act of mercy and didn't understand it, didn't appreciate it, and decided that they were going to attack and lay siege again. And again, the people didn't understand that God was in just a very short time period going to bring them from the brink of famine to the brink of abundance within a 24-hour period of time. When you read your Bible, don't just read it. Ask God to help you to understand it, to understand that He is not limited in His actions by only what man is capable of doing, but His capabilities go exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Maybe take some time. Look at the things that God has done in your life. It is my belief that when we get to heaven, we are going to see that God was a lot more proactive in our life than what we were aware of. And I don't want you to have faulty understanding. God doesn't want us to have faulty understanding. He is beyond our understanding, but our understanding of Him should be increasing every single day that we live here on this earth, that we come to know more and more just how gracious and merciful God has been. Like we talked about on yesterday's program, that He thinks about His people in a favorable manner, that He visits us with salvation, that we experience the benefit, the joy, and the glory of being God's chosen one, that He has an inheritance for us. Let's not make the same mistake that the children of Israel did in Egypt, where we see God doing supernatural things and we say, yeah, that's nice. What have you done for me lately? I guarantee you, if you're alive today, God has been working in your life. The Holy Spirit has been in relentless pursuit of you coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And since that moment, has been working relentlessly to help you to know Jesus more and more. I pray today that you will understand the wonders of God that He's been working in your life. 321-632-1000 is the phone number here at WMIE. If God lays upon your heart to help them with their fall offering, we would be grateful for your prayerful support. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.